Well, in the early days of COVID-19, they claimed to have evidence that the disease jumped from bats to humans via a pangolin. As a matter of fact, if you still want that lie, you can just tune into Real America's Voice. They were talking about that crap this morning, just making it up. It was all made up, and it turns out that there's no evidence for that. COVID-19 has never, in fact, been sequenced from nature. I just want to be clear about this. I want you to know what I just said. I want you to know what that really means. What I said is that the virus has never been isolated in real life. In other words, you've been subjected to lockdowns and the loss of your business and the distance learning and the masks and the shots and the clots and the loss of your job and your family members and your loved ones, and you've been stripped of your freedoms, all in the name of something that's so dangerous and so contagious that nobody can actually even prove that it really even exists. Karen Kingston has been digging into the patents again. She says that she's found more evidence to support a nexus between snakes and snake venom and COVID-19, and she joins us now. What have you found?
Thanks for having me, Stu. Well, I found a couple of alarming things. First, you know, in regards to what you just mentioned, the full sequence of the virus has never been presented to us. They were told it's never been fully isolated and fully sequenced. That's not exactly true. In regards to, it has been fully sequenced and they did get samples. I'm going to share with your viewers the study right out of Wuhan, the first 8 patients who came down severely ill with COVID, who actually ate at the Wuhan market. And then another patient who was staying at a hotel nearby, and they sequenced from their lungs, from the airways and the alveoli of their lungs, they sequenced the virus. They couldn't find a match among all of those patients. But what's most alarming is we were told it jumped from a bat to a human. And as you look at this sequence online right now on the screen, you can see that it came from bats from several areas of China. The sequences came from mice from different areas of the world, including the United States. The sequence came from different humans who had Middle Eastern virus, from a MERS from Saudi Arabia. There's also a hedgehog from Germany that's part of the sequence. So it's clearly not from nature. It was clearly made in the lab. And these sequences take up over a period of over a decade of when they're tracing them. And EcoHealth Alliance told us in their pitch to DARPA that they have over 180 samples over 180 sequences of nearly 10,000 samples of different coronaviruses. They told us they were going to make the virus. So when Dr. Artis came on and started talking about his research that showed he believed there was a correlation between snake venom and the coronavirus. Remember back in 2020, researchers out of India said HIV seems to be in the spike protein. And I started digging in 2020, looking for that data, or in early 2021. And lo and behold, out of the University of Pittsburgh, they sequenced the full spike protein from samples from 38 patients from Europe from early 2020. And when the scientists at Pittsburgh sequenced the spike protein, what they were looking for was hyperbinding, hyperreactivity of the proteins that was causing this hyperinflammation. The researchers at Pittsburgh did not believe the spike protein or the quote unquote coronavirus was causing what they're calling multi-system inflammatory syndrome.
And that ended up being Liu dead, shot a whole bunch of times in an apparent murder-suicide, we're told.
His name is not on this publication.
It doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be. I know the truth. It doesn't have to be on there. But anyways, please continue.
Yeah. So they were looking for toxins because they're like, it looks like these people were poisoned. It doesn't look like they had a coronavirus, which is also the cause of the common cold. Right. So when they sequenced that part of the spike protein, the PRRA, we've heard senators talk about the furin cleavage site. That's the missing host. Well, and again, your viewers can see it right from themselves. And this was published in The Lancet, a peer-reviewed journal. They sequenced some cobra venom they found. They found crate venom in the sequence of the spike protein. And they also found the rabies virus, which contains staphylococcal enterotoxin B, which is a very disease-causing type of bacteria. And they also found HIV glycoprotein 120. So when the American people and global citizens are being told, we never fully sequenced the virus or fully sequenced the spike protein, that's a lie. They have fully sequenced it, but it's not just one spike protein. I have the patent for the spike proteins, Stu. There's 7 different variations from different species in the spike protein, why does the spike protein have a separate patent if it's produced from the mRNA? They should be combined, one in the same. And in this patent, which was filed by Barney Graham from the NIAID, who works for Fauci, and Jason McClellan out of Moderna, they report that this was filed in April of 2019. Yet Barney Graham and Jason McClellan didn't have access to the sequence for the spike protein until January of 2020. How did they file the patent for the spike protein 8 months earlier? And why are there seven different sequences? If you take a look at the Pfizer biological license application, it says it's the full sequence of the SARS-CoV-2 virus producing the Wuhan Institute of Virology spike protein.
The bioweapons lab in Wuhan, China, by the way, where this was chimerically engineered and intentionally released. No pangolin, no bat, no nonsense. Stop lying. We can be done with that game now. The truth is that this is a bioweapon and it was intentionally released to kill people.
Exactly. But let's go back to that patent though too. So yes, there's evidence that there is snake venom, okay, in the spike protein. There's also evidence that the spike protein can be made independent of being injected with mRNA. So in the patent and in the research is what they explain is Graham and McClellan, they added the two prolines to stabilize the spike protein, which is made now that we know can be made of snake venom, crate venom, rabies, and HIV glycoprotein. They add the two prolines. They also expose it to liquid nitrogen to freeze it. Why are the vials kept at negative 60 degrees Celsius? Why is there a patent separate from the spike protein? Why are the spike proteins called SARS-CoV-2 spike protein in the patent? There's one also called Wuhan Institute of Virology spike protein. There's also one called Middle Eastern Respiratory Syndrome spike protein, the first patent that they filed. There's also one that causes epidemic diarrhea in pigs. There's also one that is shared between humans and cows. Why is this all in a separate patent? And why does the patent explain it's like a Lego piece? And at that Fuhrer and cleavage site, you can click in and click out whatever peptides and sequences you want to put in there, essentially whatever poisons. And why in 2017 did the NIH file a patent called Vaccine Nanotechnology in Section 9 that states in some embodiments, the vaccine can deliver a molecule, a chemical weapon of biowarfare, or a toxin? And why in the master patent for mRNA, the world patent for Moderna, under Section 0402, does it say in some embodiments, the vaccine can deliver a cytotoxin, a toxin that destroys and annihilates cells, which is what you're seeing with the thrombosis and causes damage to cells, thrombosis and thrombocytopenia. The patents say the vaccines are bioweapons. The spike protein is a man-made recreative venom, and HIV glycoprotein 120, the envelope that allows penetration into a nucleus, so you can do genetic editing on people. Why during the Joe Rogan interview did Dr. Malone laugh saying, hey, there were some monkeys in the lab that had AIDS and HIV, let's put that in the mRNA technology, unless you wanted to use that part of the HIV to actually penetrate the nucleus, which you would want to do if you had gene editing technology. Wake up, people.
So you just asked a lot of incredibly pointed and very important questions. Who holds the answers to them?
I don't think there's one individual, but I do know.
Who do we need to start with? Who should we ask? Who should we invite on this program? Name names. Who would know the answers to some of these questions?
Well, the president of the company called GeoVax, who was licensed the patents for the spike protein, the mRNA technology, and the LNPs from Arbutus and Acuitas. He actually put the royalty agreements together for all the big pharma companies. You could start with him, the CEO of GeoVax. He's based in Georgia. I don't have that document in front of me right now.
Based in Georgia, United States of America?
Yeah, Georgia, the United States, not the country. Yeah, Georgia. Yeah, he's based in Atlanta, Georgia. He actually won an award last year for like the greatest CEO. Again, he's the CEO of GeoVax. It's a holding company that's primarily owned by Shocker, Vanguard. You could get him on and ask him what these royalty agreements are for the spike proteins and the vaccines with various people. I think, you know, the other thing is he did also sign the contracts. He did meet with the FDA prior to the products being submitted in the IND. So, I mean, I think that that's a great place to start is with the CEO of GeoVax, where the business is.
We're going to start there. Here's the open air invitation.
Our government's lying to us.
Yeah.
What?
This is the open air invitation, but we're also going to send him a very personal invitation to appear on the show. Karen Kingston, your work is absolutely unbelievable. All of these patents and everything that she just talked about, Karen just talked about, we're going to have at stupeters.com. We don't expect you to believe everything that Karen Kingston says. That's why she brings receipts, and she has been historically known for that and vindicated time after time after time after time. Karen Kingston, thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Stu.